MZTV.
Would I ever do a paraphrase? Yeah, I would. I have thought about it. Yeah, like the Martin Zender's paraphrase on the New Testament. Matthew 5:30. Which one's that? If your right hand offends you, cut it off. Better to enter. Yeah, what would I make that? If your right hand offends you, use your left hand. Well, it is a paraphrase. Yeah, I am taking liberties on the Greek with that. But if I am taking liberties on the Greek, then I will make a note of that in the, yeah, the margin, or it'll be a footnote. Like, this is a loose rendering of the Greek. Well, like I said, it's a paraphrase. Oh, this is Martin Zender. I always like fielding your questions, even if they're right at the beginning of a show. Yeah, I'm making fun of the Christians a little bit with that. It's not like I don't take Jesus seriously. Of course, that was for the circumcision. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. And he's talking about better to, you know, enter into the kingdom with one hand than be cast into the fire of Gehenna, not hell. But Jesus was talking about serious things like adultery and murder. Of course, Christians like to add sins, just like the Pharisees used to do. So they elaborate on that. It includes like masturbation and looking at dirty magazines and drinking and smoking. Because, you know, if you smoke with your right hand, or if you turn the pages of dirty magazines with your right hand, or do something else with your right hand, they think that that's, like I say, they throw everything that they're offended by into the scriptures. And this is exactly the sin. This is itself is a sin. It's just about a worse sin than the sins Jesus was talking about. The Pharisees did the same thing. They added to the catalog of sins so that there was hardly any, you couldn't even move if you were in Israel and the Pharisees had your ass, because they invented sins that weren't even in the scripture. Christians do exactly the same thing. So I would be making fun of them with my paraphrase. Yeah, I would explain all of this. It'd be a big footnote. Yeah, it would be a big, yeah, most of the page will be footnote. I would explain the reasoning behind my little joke there. But anyway, that's nice, but let's get down to business here. I'm Martin Zender. Welcome to the show. I hope everybody's planning on, all 1,500 people that end up watching this show, I hope you all come to the conference in Kansas City. I'd love to meet you. Just think of it. We can meet each other. May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. There's still lodging available in the entire city. Stay anywhere you want. The conference will be held at the Kansas City, at the Airport Marriott. So, if you're staying at the Airport Marriott, that's quite convenient. Very nice. I guess it's only a few minutes from the airport. But there's a lot of other hotels in the area. So, come one, come all. Have you noticed that there are some people that you just can't compliment? People are obsessed with not taking any personal credit for things. I find this in the body of Christ. For instance, but yeah, also in the Christian world, if you tell somebody, you look nice today, you look really nice today. Well, it's not me, it's Christ, it's the Lord. Or in a more spiritual vein, if you tell somebody, you did a really good job sharing the evangel with Jim. I overheard you. Well, that was the Lord. That was the Lord. That wasn't me. That was the Lord. And while these things are true, of course, it is God operating in you, Philippians 2:13, to will and to work for the sake of his delight. Yet, even our Apostle Paul recognizes individual achievement. And this is an old Christian fear that we had, and it carries over to some in the body of Christ. It's this idea that you, powerful you, can upset the apple cart, and you, powerful you can screw up God's plans for your life. And so, and you can become proud, and you can become the Antichrist in your own life, like stepping into the temple, claiming that you are God, and you can get so full of yourself that you just run Jesus out of town. And so to protect God from the powerful you, from the almighty I, people will defer and they won't take any credit for anything. It is so frustrating. You can't credit them for anything. Like, oh, thanks for that contribution you sent for the work. I really appreciate it. Well, that was God. Okay, well, can you give me God's address or can you give me God's phone number? I'd like to text God and thank him for the $20. I'd like to text God. I've told you people have gotten mad at me. Very few people, because very few people are as crazy and as insane as what I'm about to tell you. People have gotten after me for putting my name on my books because it's proud, it's arrogant. What do you mean you wrote the book, Martin? Oh, you wrote The First Idiot in Heaven? Is that right? What do you think of yourself? I wrote the book as compared to anybody else in the world. Like, this is called the relative perspective. I'm relating myself to other people. In relation to other people, I wrote that book. In relation to them, it goes without saying, especially within the body of Christ, that I can only do what God works into me. But I don't know what these people want me to do. Put the name God on the book? The First Idiot in Heaven by God. And then I show up at the conference with this book. I think people would be more apt to say to me, in that case, who the hell do you think you are? But this is how absurd it is to constantly revert to absolute truth. Absolutely, God is doing everything. But you see how impractical that is when we're dealing with each other? It's so impractical. I'll give you an example. 1 Corinthians 3:6. I wasn't planning on going here yet, but here it is. Paul says, I plant, Apollos irrigates, but God makes it grow. So he's relating himself and Apollos to God. And if Paul had just said by itself, I want to go out and plant the gospel, someone could have said to Paul, what do you mean you're going to go out and plant the gospel? You are helpless apart from God. You can't do anything. And at which point Paul would roll his eyes like, duh, of course he knows that. And if someone were to say, separately, or let's say Apollos comes on the scene then and says, Paul is just out heralding the word. I'm going to go out and I'm going to water that word. I am going to make sure they get it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And you hear Apollos using the personal pronoun I like 6 times. And you look at Apollos, Apollos, shame on you. A man of your spiritual knowledge should know better. That it's not you. You don't irrigate. It's God irrigating through you. Give God the credit. At which point Apollos would roll his eyes. And the next phrase is, but God makes it grow. So I plant, Apollos irrigates, but God makes it grow. But I think some people would be happy if we just put God in every single place. God plants, God irrigates, but God makes it grow. You see how dumb that is, really. That's really dumb because Paul is taking pains to point out that humans have a role. Individual people have a role. Verse 7, but he admits this so that neither is he who is planting anything. Okay, just because you're not anything, just because you're relatively nothing, it doesn't mean we don't honor you and give you notice. Like this nothing over here planted. This nothing named Paul planted. This nothing named Apollos watered. Well, let's give honor to whom honor is due. I want to honor the nothing, Paul, and the nothing, Apollos, they'll be perfectly fine with that. Because Paul says, neither is he who was planting anything, nor he who was irrigating, but God who makes it grow up. So the real something here is God. And it is God doing the planting and the irrigating. But God recognizes individual achievement. I plant, Apollos irrigates. And this doesn't mean that we're setting Paul or Apollos up like over God. And that's proven in the next verse. Paul says, just in case there's crazy people reading this who would think that he's setting himself up or setting up Apollos as these great people. They are great people, actually. And you can be great without being God. So Paul says in verse 7, neither is he was planting anything, nor he was irrigating, but God. And then he goes on in verse 8, now he who was planting and he who was irrigating are for one thing, yet each, well, here it is, verse 8, 1 Corinthians 3, each will be getting his own wages according to his own toil, his own wages or her own wages according to his or her own toil. Now, there are some in the body of Christ who say that nobody in the body of Christ, there's no distinction. Everybody is going to get the same thing. We're all going to rule and reign with Christ. We're all going to get the wreath of righteousness. We're all going to get, even though Paul says he's competing for a prize, some people think that there's some kind of spiritual communism in the body of Christ where we're going to redistribute like anybody that works hard like Paul or anybody that works hard like Apollos. We're going to take what they would get in a normal system of rewarding toil, and we're going to just give it, we're going to redistribute it. We're going to redistribute the wealth that these guys would get, the wreath of righteousness, that we're going to give it to everybody. And Paul and Apollos would be just keen with that, just happy with that. No, they wouldn't. And who cares if they would or not? Here's the underlying fact. Each will be getting his own wages according to his own toil. There are wages to be had at the end of the day. And the end of the day is the dais of Christ. For God's fellow workers are we. Verse 9. We're God's fellow workers, Paul says of himself and Apollos. God's farm, God's building are you. He's comparing them to a farm and a building. And these guys are the farmers. They're planting, they're watering. God causes the growth. But the emphasis, let's go back to verse 6, is that Paul wants you to know that God's making it grow. That's the emphasis. God's the one that makes it grow. So he's emphasizing God, but he uses a triplet here of three individuals, God, Paul, and Apollos. And obviously the most important one is God. And you might say, but God is the most important one in all three of them. Yes, but for the sake of emphasis, of emphasizing the last thing, the one who's making it grow up, we want to distinguish. We want to distinguish the first two aspects of this from the third aspect. We want to distinguish the planting and the irrigating because this is things that human beings can do. Yes, I can plant. You can plant. I can water. You can water. Just like a real farmer. That's the analogy here, is a real farmer. If real farmers didn't plant real corn and real wheat and real soybeans, we wouldn't have anything to eat. But even in the real farming world, this is a metaphor pointing to the agricultural circles. The truth there is that no farmer can make anything grow. They don't know how it grows. It's a mystery. Farmers study still don't know how things grow. They just know that they have to put the seed in the soil. They have to water the soil, put some cow shit on it, and make sure the sun hits it, and it'll grow. It's the miracle of life because God makes it grow. Hey, but we're going to acknowledge the people who are putting it in the ground. We're going to acknowledge the people who are watering it, both metaphorically and in the real world of farming. And the farmer gets wages according to what he plants. If you're slothful, if you're a slothful agriculturalist and you don't do much and you just lay around during planting season, and you don't plant much, you're not going to reap much. It's the same thing in the spiritual world, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry, but it is. We're all members of the body of Christ. That can't be taken away from us. We're all seated at the right hand of God. We're all in Christ. We're all sons of God. But what's this wages thing? I didn't make this up. This is Paul speaking. Now Paul goes on in verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is being granted to me as a wise foreman, I lay a foundation. I lay a foundation. Boy, it sounds pretty arrogant. And I know people, even in the body of Christ, because people come after me for this. People, even in the body of Christ, if they heard Paul say this and they didn't know it was Paul, And he says, I lay a foundation. I lay the foundation of the evangel in this town, in this city, with this group, with the Romans, with the Corinthians, with the Galatians. And I swear to God that people, even in the body of Christ today, would tell this person, you're really kind of arrogant. You need to acknowledge God. What do you mean you lay a foundation? And then in another place, Paul says, I become all things to all people that I might save some. Jeez, that's three uses of the personal pronoun I in one sentence. I become all things to all people that I might save some. I guess that's only two. But you see the point. That you might save some. You. Yes, in that verse, Paul calls himself a savior. And he is, relatively speaking. I could say the same thing. How would you feel if I came here tomorrow and I said, I saved five people yesterday? I heralded the gospel. I planted it and watered it. And I saved five people. I saved some. I can think of 10 people right off the bat who would criticize me. But there would be more. Because they don't understand the relative perspective. They assume, anybody that knows me, I would hope and pray to God, would not assume this. But people assume that you're taking, that you think you're doing it absolutely without the help of God. I, or you, none of us can do anything. We can't even breathe apart from God. I mean, let that be settled truth. We can't move. In Him we live and move and are, because God gives to all life and breath and all. Do we have that straight? Great. So now I can tell you, you look good, and you'll say thank you. You won't believe what I do. Ladies and gentlemen, when someone tells me, Martin, your book changed my life. Thank you so much for writing The First Idiot and having that book change my life. Thank you so much for doing those Crack of Dawn reports back in 2009. I watched those videos and my faith grew, and thank you for doing your shows every day. You can't believe what I say in response to these amazing statements. You know what I say? I say, you're welcome. Isn't that great? Don't you hate to compliment someone and you can't do it? You try to compliment them. No. You did a great job. Oh, it wasn't me. Oh, really? Well, who was it? Because I want to go thank that person, whoever it was. Well, it was God. It's like, do we have to lay that foundation over and over and over again that it was God? Of course it was God. I know it was God, but He hasn't shown up lately. I can't see Him. I can't talk to Him. He doesn't have an address, doesn't have a cell phone, doesn't have an email address. So I can't thank Him. So since He's doing it through you, as opposed to those five people over there and those 29 people over there, how about I thank you and then you just say you're welcome? Can we simplify this? Can we live in the relative without being afraid that we're going to upset the apple cart of the sovereignty of God? Are we that powerful that we can upset the apple cart of the sovereignty of God, that we take credit for it? Oh, my friends, we are to be past this. We are no longer to think of ourselves as that powerful that we can upset the apple cart of God's sovereignty, or that we can somehow mess up God's plan for our lives. I'm thinking suddenly of 2 Corinthians 5:17. So that if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. The primitive passed by. Lo, there has come new. A new creation. I'm a new creation. See, the old I was crucified with Christ. My old I. This is why Christians still hesitate to use the personal pronoun I, because they're afraid. They're afraid of it because their old I hasn't, they don't consider it to have died with Christ. They think their old I is still alive and it's deadly, it's dangerous. And they're scared it's going to upset God. So they can't use the personal pronoun. And they criticize each other for using the personal pronoun. I once wrote an article. See, there I go again. I once wrote an article. Who do you think you are, Martin said. You wrote the article? Okay. God once wrote this article in which God used a personal pronoun. You see, it doesn't even make sense if I credit God with everything. God plants, God waters, yet God causes the growth. What do you mean, yet God causes good? That doesn't even make sense. Unless you put human beings in there somewhere. Paul says, honor to whom honor is due, tribute to whom tribute is due. So if somebody compliments you, say thank you. Don't complicate it by saying, oh, it wasn't me. Well, yes, it was. It was somebody who looked like you, sounded like you, smelled like you, could have sworn it was you. No, that was God. At which point I would say, who do you think you are? It's the reverse thing. I would say to that person who's deferring all the time, no, it's God. It's God. It's God. I would say, who do you think you are? It's God. Like me putting God as the author of all my books. Flawed by Design by God. Yeah. I would say, who do you think you are? That the I is so powerful that it can offend the deity. No, your I was crucified. Verse 17, Second Corinthians 5, so that if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation, the primitive passed by, there has come new. Yeah, the old I has been crucified. Oh, this reminds me of Galatians. Chapter 2, verse 20. With Christ, this is it. With Christ have I been crucified. Now follow this. This is fascinating. With Christ have I been crucified, yet I am living. That's a problem. It's a bit of a complication, isn't it? With Christ, I've been crucified. Romans 6, his crucifixion was our crucifixion. Christ put the old humanity to death. So with Christ have I been crucified. So I'm dead. The old I no longer exists. It no longer needs to be feared. You can use the pronoun. I didn't finish my story. I used the pronoun in something I wrote like 15 times, and somebody counted the times I said I, and they wrote me back, and they criticized me for talking about myself. And I said, well, I'm the only one I know about as well as I do, and I am my favorite topic, and I like to talk about things I do because it often helps other people when I explain something that I went through or talk about something I wrote. And so I don't know what else other pronoun to use. I don't know what else to call myself. So I just say I, but this person was offended because this person did not reckon, and this person was mature, should have, I guess I thought this person was mature, should have recognized that I recognized that the old humanity was crucified. And now we go back to this, Galatians 2:20, with Christ have I been crucified, yet I am living. Oh, that's a problem. That's weird. You were crucified and yet you're alive. Yeah, Paul says, I'm looking at this phenomenon. I'm staring this phenomenon in the face, but no longer I. Wait a minute. With Christ, you've been crucified. Yes, but you're living. Right. But it's no longer really you. Right. Who is it? Well, living in me is Christ. Christ is living in me. Okay, Christ is living in me. Get it? It's not Christ living. Christ is living in me. God is living in me. So that which I am now living in flesh, I am living in faith that is of the Son of God who loves me and gives himself up for me. So I'm the life that I'm now living in the flesh. And we're all living lives in the flesh. We all do stuff as compared to other people who don't do stuff. And so we are constantly using the personal pronoun. Don't fear the personal pronoun. Don't fear the reaper. Don't fear the personal pronoun. Don't fear. We don't have to fear it anymore. Because the life that we're now living in flesh, we're living in faith. We have faith that when we say, I did this, I did that, it is assumed. We assume that it's God operating in us. Philippians 2, 12, 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God operating in you to will and to work for the sake of his delight. It is God operating in you. That's the life you're living in flesh, the you life, the I life. And you have to live it in faith that it's Christ operating in you and that he's manifesting his life through who? Through who? You. And through me. I am manifesting the life of Christ within me. And then Paul says this in verse 21, I'm not repudiating the grace of God. You see, that's the first thing somebody would say. Oh, you're repudiating the grace of God by using this pronoun all the time. In fact, it's funny, right before this, Paul uses the personal, he's relating that incident with Peter in Antioch when he withstood Peter to his face. For before, now when Cephas came to Antioch, verse 11, Galatians 2, I withstood him to the face. I withstood him to the face. Verse 14, but when I perceive that they are not correct in their attitude toward the truth of the evangel, I said to Cephas in front of all. So there you go. Verse 18, for if I am building again these things which I demolish, I am commending myself as a transgressor. For I, through law, died to law, that I should be living to God. At this point, Paul's using the personal pronoun so much that some people might be freaking out. So that's why Paul says, with Christ have I been crucified. Don't sweat it, people. I was crucified with Christ, but I'm still living, but it's no longer I, but living in me is Christ. And that which I'm now living in this incident I just told you that involved what I said to this other guy named Peter, I'm living in flesh, but I'm living it in faith that it's God operating in me. And please, Paul says, don't make me say every single sentence that it's God operating in me. Can we all have a starting point that we all recognize that we don't need to keep emphasizing it over and over and over and over again, that it's God and not me, it's God and not me, it's God and not me. Yeah, I know that, okay? I know that. Can we all, we're established. In him we live and move and are. God gives to all life and breath and all. Good. Good. Then let's acknowledge one another. Let's compliment one another. Let's encourage one another. Let's thank one another. Yes. And let's celebrate the fact that we're going to get wages for toil that we have done. But it wasn't me, Mutt. I know it wasn't you. And yet, God's going to reward you anyway. As though it were you operating independently of him. But it's not. But if it's good enough for God, if God recognizes labor and God is going to give wages, if it's good enough for God, I'm sorry, but it's good enough for me.